Are you interested in a life that is free of drama and conflict, where nothing is taken personally, where your past is powerless, where your emotions, though felt fully, pass quickly? Those are some of the things that enlightened people experience. And in today's episode, and in the four that follow, we are going to talk about the path of awakening, what it means, and why we should pursue it. Let's get to it.
Welcome to the Attracting Lasting Love podcast, presented by CoachingWithRoy.com. You found the place where single adults come for mindful wisdom and insight into how to attract and create healthy, lasting, conscious relationships. And now, here's your host, the owner of CoachingWithRoy.com, number one best-selling author, certified relationship coach, and TV analyst, Roy Biancalana.
Well, hello again, and welcome to another edition of the Attracting Lasting Love podcast. My name is Roy Biancalana, and I'm wondering, is anybody out there listening? I mean, after last week's episode, I wonder if I chased everybody away. Because last week I did volume two of Roy's rants, and I just went after you. I mean, and sometimes I worry, I don't know if people are taking me that seriously and maybe getting offended and maybe I'm chasing people away. I hope that's not happening. But every so often, I just feel like every once in a while, it's important to kind of stop being politically correct and spiritual and conscious and like, give it to me straight, doctor. I can take it. You know, just let it rip. Take the governor off and just give it to me straight. And so every 6 months or so, I do an episode where I do that. And I hope it's of service. And I hope you're still out there. Now, if I was nervous about how you might take last week's episode, oh my God, it's so much worse right now. Because we are starting a 5-part series of podcasts that I am calling the path of awakening, the path of spiritual awakening, the path of enlightenment, the path of realization. I don't know what words you want to use, but I'm going to talk about spiritual awakening for 5 episodes. Now, I don't know how many of you are really interested in this. I think you should be, and I'm going to give you some reasons why today, because today's episode is, okay, what is spiritual awakening? What is enlightenment? And why is it important? Why should I care about it? Okay? So I'm going to do those things. But I'm also getting into this because I just love this topic. And I want to talk about things on my podcast that really interest me that have made big differences in my life. That's something I want to say right now, that my pursuit of spiritual awakening, which is still ongoing, has served me so well. I'm much more comfortable in my skin. I understand myself and the world around me so much more. I live with so much less resistance toward myself, towards others, right? It's just made a big difference. And I'll go more into that in just a minute. But it's a topic that I'm just genuinely interested in. And so I want to bring it to you. And I realize it's a little off brand because for the next 5 weeks, I'm really not going to talk about how you can find your life partner. Nor am I going to be talking about how to build your relationship skills so that when you meet someone, you can create something special. That's been the other 2 series I've done so far this year. I did a major series called The Pursuit of Intimacy, the beginning of the year, and then just finished a series that it was all about relationship skills and understanding life's contradictions and how to make sense of them in relationship. But today, I'm kind of going in a different direction. Today, I want to just get into what does it mean to be a conscious, enlightened being? What is it? How do we get there? Why should we bother? So I want to have this conversation about spiritual awakening, and I hope you'll go with me. Even if you're not sure about whether you care about it, even if you're not sure about whether you're interested or think it's valuable, I'm hoping that over the years of this podcast that you've developed a kind of trust in me and that you've gotten enough out of this podcast to give me the benefit of the doubt, to just say, okay, I mean, Roy's really given me some great stuff. His podcast is for free. There's 160 plus episodes out there. He's touched on every subject you can imagine. I've learned so much. So, okay, I'm not necessarily wild about this idea of spiritual awakening, but all right, it's an hour a week out of my time. I can go for a walk and listen to it, no skin off my back. So I'm hoping you'll give me a chance to talk about something that I'm really interested in and I think can be of great service to you. All right? Now, from the get-go here, let me get something clear with you right now, okay? I am not an enlightened being. I do not consider myself as an awakened one, as a realized one. Frankly, not even close. I do know enough about spiritual awakening to know when I see it and when I don't. Okay? And I know some people who are spiritually awakened, and you're going to hear from one of them in the final episode of this series. Okay? So I know what awakening is, and I ain't that. Okay? What I have had are glimpses of awakening. I've had moments where I felt like I was seeing clearly, that I kind of woke up and was enlightened. I've had glimpses. I've had little moments. I'm sort of like Lucy in the Chronicles of Narnia. Do you remember that movie? I think her and her friends are playing hide and seek. I don't remember. It's been years since I've seen the movie. But I think they're playing hide and seek. And she hid in a wardrobe closet. And when she's in the closet, she finds a door at the back of the closet. And it opens up to this place called Narnia. Okay? And there's this place of wonder and magic and mystery and sometimes danger. It was just this incredible place. Now, she just got a glimpse of it. She didn't go live in there. She didn't go exploring. She didn't spend years in there. She just kind of got a glimpse of it and was like, whoa, that's kind of amazing, kind of incredible. And what she did is she went back out through the wardrobe closet and she found her friends and she said, you got to come see what I found. What is it? What does it mean? Come see. And that's how I feel. Like I've just had a glimpse of Narnia, a glimpse of enlightenment here and there. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, wow. And I'm so intrigued by it. I want to know, do you want to come back with me through the wardrobe closet and explore Narnia, explore enlightenment? And that's my goal. My goal is not to convince you of anything. It's not to convert you to something, nor is it to take you away from some religious belief or some idea about God. None of that. I could care less about what I believe about God and what you believe about God. I'm really interested in direct experience of like having a glimpse yourself. Something that would be unarguable. Because beliefs are arguable, are they not? Don't people argue about religion? Okay. Don't people argue about God? Right? I want to talk about things that are not arguable, things that you can directly experience in your own awareness. And they are things that millions and millions and millions of other people have experienced for thousands and thousands of years. That is important. The glimpses that I want to show you or to invite you to take a look at are things that people have been seeing for millennia. But they need to be experienced yourself. They need to be discovered yourself. So this is all about your own direct experience, regardless of any religion or belief, any of that. It just doesn't matter. I just want to know, do you want to come look out the back of the wardrobe closet and see Narnia? I don't really care what you believe in the process. It just doesn't matter. It's all fine. Okay? So that's my goal, is I just want to show you some things that I've seen, things that I'm playing with, things that I think are powerful to experience and to consider. And maybe it inspires you to grow. Maybe it inspires you to look more into the subject of spiritual awakening. Maybe it propels you on your own journey or gives you more encouragement with the journey you're already on. Okay? But I'm certainly not arrived. I am certainly not some enlightened being. I've just had glimpses and I want to share it with you. Now, having said that, if I'm not an enlightened being, why should you listen to me? That's a legitimate question, right? Because like, what if my love life absolutely sucked? What if my wife was divorcing me? What if I didn't have any friends? What if every relationship I have with siblings or, you know, anything else? What if my whole relationship life was a disaster and you knew it? Would you listen to me talk to you about how to have good relationships? Of course you wouldn't. On some level, you know, credibility is based on the validity of a person's personal experience. It's like a personal trainer in the gym. If they're 70 pounds overweight, are you really going to let them be your trainer? Don't they need to have a little mastery of the subject themselves to be taken seriously? Okay? And so I need to just tell you why you should even listen to this. If I'm not telling you, I am an enlightened being and you should sit at my feet in full lotus position and feed on every word that falls from thy mouth. Okay? That ain't it. But if it's not, then why should you listen to me? Well, I can give you three things. One, my experience. Pain in my life has been a portal to profound spiritual inquiry. I have had a bunch of what I consider to be major failures in my professional life. I've had a number of major fails in my personal life. And those things have devastated me so much that they made me start to look at what the hell is going on here. Like, what's wrong with me? What's making me tick? What's real? What's the story? Right? And maybe this is true for you too. But one of the benefits of pain is that it can become a portal to profound spiritual awakening, to profound spiritual inquiry. Pain can make you start asking the right questions. And that's what's happened to me. And consequently, I have spent an enormous amount of money and time and energy and effort in answering the big questions of life for myself. I mean, I have been to so many trainings. I have sat at the feet of people who are enlightened masters. I have traveled all over the place. I've spent tens of thousands of dollars, not only on personal coaching, but on other people's materials and going to their workshops and spending time with them individually and so forth. So you're listening to someone whose life can be characterized as that guy is devoted to spiritual awakening. He might not have arrived somewhere if there is somewhere to arrive, but that guy has been committed to it. Okay? Secondly, I have had the privilege to be in the midst of, either personally or from a distance, with some of the most profound spiritual teachers of all time. And when I'm going to give you a list here. And when I list them, I'm not telling you I know of them. I'm telling you that I have devoted myself to their teachings, that I've spent money on them, gone to them, gotten their programs, worked with them. I mean, really became a disciple of them. So first, it's my experience that lets me talk about this. Secondly, it's my teachers, Michael Singer, Eckhart Tolle, Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta Maharaj, Adi Ashanti, Sam Harris, Ken Wilber, Byron Katie, Hale Dawaskin, Gay Hendricks, Jim Dethmer, and frankly, Jesus, and Buddha himself. Okay? These are the people that I've surrounded myself with, either personally or through their work. But also, in addition to my experience and my teachers, are things that I've studied. Like, I believe myself to be a world-class expert on Christianity, Judaism, Islam, especially the Sufi tradition, Buddhism, Zen, Advaita, Hindu yoga, Vipassana meditation, Dzogchen, and Taoism. Okay, I mean, I've been into this stuff for decades, people, is what I'm trying to say. And I've devoted myself to it. And while I would never put myself in the category of Jim Dethmer or Adi Ashanti or Eckhart Tolle or Michael Singer, no way would I ever even be in their ballpark in terms of the consciousness and the awakening that they embody. You know, I've done my work here. All right? So now, this series is going to unfold this way. First is I want to give you a description. What is spiritual awakening and why should I be interested? Then I'm going to talk about the decision, the moment your spiritual journey can begin. So this week is the description. Next week is the decision. We're going to talk about the moment your spiritual journey can begin. And then the third week is the discovery. When you see who you really are, there's something to be discovered there, and I'm going to show you how to do it. And then fourth is the direction. Once you see who you are, once you get a glimpse, I want to give you a map of where you're going and how to get there. I'm going to show you how to get to Narnia, okay? And then finally, we're going to talk about the destination. I'm going to interview my friend Jim Dethmer, who is the most awakened being that I know and could get on this podcast. Okay. So that's where we're going. Description, decision, discovery, direction, destination. So let's get busy. And I apologize for taking 18 and a half minutes to get here, but we need to lay that groundwork. But let's get going. So what is spiritual awakening or enlightenment? And like many things in life, it's easier to say what it's not. Okay, so there are lots of misconceptions and weird beliefs around spiritual awakening, awakened beings, enlightenment, realization. There's lots of weird stuff, okay? And we need to clear away what it isn't. Because I think part of the reason some people might be turned off by this topic or just not interested in it is that they associate it with certain things that they want no part of. Okay? And we're going to get to those. So, spiritual waking. It doesn't mean that you would never have any problems or challenges ever again. When you have a real spiritual awakening, you still have challenges. Your car still breaks down. You still might get cancer. Your spouse might still divorce you. You might still not meet someone if you're dating. Okay? So when you're spiritually awakened, it doesn't mean that everything goes your way and you never have a problem, never have a challenge, and just no difficulties happen. That's garbage. It's garbage. Okay? Nor does spiritual awakening mean that you never have emotions or reactions. Oh, if you're spiritually awakened, you never have an emotion. You just are this right? You're just in this place of equanimity all the time and peace, and you never have any ups or downs. You never feel sad or angry or scared. You never find yourself reacting to something. No, that isn't true. Spiritual awakening doesn't mean that you lose your humanity. Okay? Awakened beings still have emotions and they still notice reactions coming up in their bodies to things. So it doesn't mean that. Nor does it mean you shave your head, you know, or walk around in flowing robes, handing out pamphlets on the street corner or something. It doesn't mean you know, remember the Hare Krishna people in the airport, you know, 30 years ago, walking around in their robes and their bald heads, handing out pamphlets, and, oh, that's what it means to be enlightened? No, thank you. But it doesn't mean any of that. It doesn't mean you have to shave your head or wear goofy clothes or, you know, start evangelizing people. Not at all. Nor does it mean that you withdraw from life. Right? I think people view when they're spiritually awakened that they just withdraw into themselves. They're no longer engaged in the world. They no longer really do anything. You know, they just spend their time in ashrams and caves and they're meditating and they're just withdrawn from life. No, no, no. Some have chosen to do that, but the far majority of people who are spiritually awakened are more engaged in life and in relationships, not less. Okay? Spiritual awakening doesn't mean that you live a life of renunciation. Oh, when you're enlightened, there's no more drinking, there's no more fun, nobody can have any sex. Everybody must be vegetarian. You can't eat a hamburger, right? It's like, no, no, that's not it. I mean, some people have chosen to renunciate things, but that's not a part of awakening. That's frankly a distortion of it. Okay? So if you become spiritually awakened, you're not going to become some boring person that nobody wants to be around. Just the opposite. Jim Dethmer is the most awakened person I know. He is my favorite person to be around because he's so compassionate and loving, and yet he's got wisdom to share, and he's fun, and he loves golf and pickleball, and you know he loves his wife and his kids, and the guy's a dream to get to know, right? So that's renunciation is not it. And when you become spiritually awakened, you don't just meditate all day. You might not meditate at all. In fact, I've heard Michael Singer and even Eckhart Tolle say they don't do a lot of their individual formal meditation anymore. It's like meditation is just a part of the natural life as they're writing books or giving talks or being with their partners. So you're not going to sit on some cushion all day, sitting in full lotus position, you know, namaste, 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 right? So my point is, you don't become some boring, lifeless person if you're awakened. It's just not that. That's not what enlightenment means. But on a deeper level, spiritual awakening, spiritual, I don't want to use the word growth because it's not growth, spiritual realization. Like, there's a difference between personal growth and spiritual growth or awakening. See, I think a lot of people, myself included, use those terms interchangeably. I know I have. Spiritual growth, personal growth, oh, it's all the same thing. Technically, actually, it is not. They're nowhere near the same things. Okay, so let me give you some things here that might make your head spin a little bit. But personal growth, really, when you get down to it, personal growth is about freedom for the self. Is it not? Personal growth, I mean, you want to get somewhere. You want to find someone. You want freedom. You want freedom for yourself. Spiritual growth is freedom from the self. Feel that. Personal growth is freedom for yourself. Real spiritual awakening is freedom from yourself. Now, if you don't know that you need to be free from yourself, then you're not paying attention. Oh my God, that voice in your head terrorizes you. It keeps you anxious. It scares the hell out of you. It creates drama, suffering, because you listen to that damn voice in your head. You need freedom from it. You need freedom from how your emotions run your life and overtake you and put you in a spiral and you can't seem to get out of it, right? So one of the signs that you know you're somewhat interested in real spiritual growth is you recognize, I'm not trying to get freedom for myself. Damn it, no, I'm trying to get freedom from myself, okay? Personal growth. Back to personal growth, it's about the development of a self, right? It's about improving, growing, developing the self, personal development, personal growth. It's about the development of the self, while spiritual growth or spiritual awakening is about the dissolution of the self. It's about dissolving the self, not improving it. It's about actually seeing there is no self to improve upon. Real spiritual awakening is about discovering that you are not who you thought you are, that there is no self at the center of experience. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're going to get there. But personal growth, when we talk about that, and it's fine, by the way, it's about development of the self, personal development. That's fine. But it's just not spiritual growth. Spiritual growth or awakening is about dissolving the self, not enhancing it, not growing it, not developing it, not improving on it, not establishing it. It's about seeing that it's an illusion. It's not there. It's about dissolving ego, right? Personal growth is about growing the ego, establishing the ego. Ego is not really bad. It's the self-sense. It's the I thought. And any good psychologist, understanding any psychology, the beginning of your life is about establishing a healthy ego, a healthy sense of self. That is all a part of our journeys. We're going to see that in week number 4 when we talk about the path of spiritual awakening, that it starts by establishing a healthy sense of self, a healthy relationship to yourself. That's about personal growth. And that's fine. There is a point, though, where our growth can transition to where we begin to see that the self that we have created is really not real. It's just a combination of thoughts and memories and feelings and sensations that are all Velcroed together. And it feels like there's a me living behind my eyes. And spiritual realization is recognizing that that isn't actually true. Okay? So I'm not saying personal growth is a bad thing. Most of my podcasts are all about personal growth. This series is the only series I've ever done where I'm really talking about spiritual growth, spiritual awakening. And I'm here to tell you where we're going is toward not developing the self, but dissolving it. Because it's that self, that ego, that ends up getting in your way. It ends up being the root of suffering. It ends up being the cause of all drama. Okay? Again, personal growth is about creating identity. Right? Personal growth is, I am this. I am that. I am a father. I am a coach. I am an author. I am a golfer. I'm a man. I'm a husband. What else am I? What other roles do I play? Right? Personal growth is about creating identity. But kind of, you know, in that sense, knowing who you are, knowing the roles that you play, knowing the personas that you embody. Because that's what those things are. Father, husband, coach, golfer, entrepreneur, you name it, sister, man, woman, these are all personas. They are roles that we play. They are identities. And when you're talking about personal growth, it's about creating that, establishing that identity. Spiritual growth, on the other hand, is about negating identity. It's about discovering, I am not that. I am not this. I am. Period. It's about discovering that while we play many roles and we wear many masks and we embody many personas in the world, in essence, behind all of that, there is simply the identity, which is none other than consciousness or awareness or I am-ness. So personal growth is about putting things after the phrase I am. I am this. I am that. Spiritual growth is about taking away or recognizing that anything that comes after I am is persona. And it's not who you are. It's just a role that you play. Furthermore, personal growth is always about evolving, becoming, achieving, acquiring, mastering, searching, gaining, growing, right? Personal growth is about a destination. It's about getting somewhere, correct? And there's nothing wrong with that. Well, all I'm saying is there's nothing spiritual about that at all. See, when you're on a personal growth path, there's nothing spiritual about it. Nothing at all. Spiritual growth or spiritual awakening is a completely different track. It's a different category. Because spiritual awakening is always about realizing there's nowhere to go and there's nothing to do. There's no partner to find to be who you already are. So spiritual awakening is about not achieving or acquiring something. It's about letting go of something, about releasing something. It's about emptiness or beingness. It's not about a destination of trying to get somewhere. It's about realizing that you can rest right here in the here and now, and you're already there. There is no there. There is nowhere to go. There is nothing to pursue. It's just an illusion. So real spiritual awakening is about letting go of something and releasing something rather than trying to get something or to achieve something. So that comes to how am I going to define enlightenment or spiritual awakening? And I think I touched on this in my first book, I believe. What does enlightenment actually mean? Now that we've stripped away all the stuff it doesn't mean, and we've understood it's really not about personal growth, it's something else. I think the simplest definition for spiritual awakening is that we just see clearly. The lights come on. Enlightenment. Okay, the idea is that we're all kind of walking around in the dark. Have you ever been in a room that's completely pitch black? What happens? First, it's a little scary because you don't know where anything is. You can't see anything. And you bump into shit, don't you? I mean, you stub your toe, you hit your knee on something, right? You just bump into stuff and you run into things and it can be painful and ouch and there's some suffering and it's a little scary because it's in the dark. Well, when you experience enlightenment, it's like you found the light switch and you flip it on and it's like, oh, now I see where everything is. Now I see completely what's going on. So therefore, it's not so scary anymore because I see where everything is. And it's not so painful anymore because I don't bump into things because I can see them. So spiritual awakening or enlightenment is like you turn the lights on in the darkness and you can see clearly. See, but not only in that dark room can you bump, like imagine your bedroom, right? You're, as a kid or even now, you're in your bedroom. There's no light at all. And you have to put your arms out and you're walking really slowly because you don't want to bump into anything. It's kind of scary and, you know, that kind of stuff. Now, just imagine there's a bunch of people in there. And they're in the dark too. And they're scared. And they're bumping into shit and hurting themselves and suffering. And they're bumping into you. And you're bumping into them. Folks, that's what life is. We're all walking around in the dark. And we're all scared. And we're bumping into shit. And we're hurting ourselves. We're hurting each other. And there's suffering. And there's fear. So we're all walking around in the dark. So it's not just you're bumping into stuff. There's other people just like you. That's the nightmare. That's why spiritual awakening is necessary. Because if the lights stay off, it's just a nightmare. It's painful. It's suffering. It's drama. It's conflict. So even though wherever you are in the world, even though whatever you do, wherever you go, whether you go to the mall today, whether you go to the store to buy something, whether you take a walk down the street, notice that you are completely in the dark. And so is everybody else. There is no sunshine. There is no electricity. There is no light. We're all living in absolute pitch black, utter darkness, trying to find our way. And we're scared and we're suffering. That's one of the things you see when you wake up. You see clearly, oh my God, I've been in the dark. I've been bumping into shit. I didn't know. I couldn't see. I couldn't see myself clearly. I couldn't see around me. I couldn't see what other people are up to. I couldn't see what they were doing and why. I had no understanding. I wasn't awakened. It's like I'm sleepwalking. So that's what it means. It just means the lights come on. That's all it means. It doesn't mean you shave your head and give up sex and never have any alcohol. It just means, no, the light comes on and you're like, oh, I see reality. I see what's really happening. Like I can differentiate between what's real and what's illusion. I see who I really am. The difference between my essence and persona. And I see the path, the real path to not suffer, the real path to happiness and aliveness. It's about being, not becoming. It's about resting and relaxing, not chasing and pursuing. Does that make sense? Spiritual awakening. All we're trying to do here is to open our eyes and see. And I believe this is what life is trying to do for you and for me. I believe every experience we have is life's attempt to wake us up, to help us see. So just imagine you're lying in a bed and you're dead asleep. That's what your life is like. That's why it's called awakening or waking up. What the spiritual masters have realized once they woke up, because see, you don't know you're like that when you're like that. Like when you're dead asleep, you don't know you're dead asleep. You're just dead asleep. Once you wake up, then you know, oh my God, I was asleep. Right? So it's the awakened beings who then have come back and said, you guys are all asleep. I was asleep. I woke up to it. But it's like you don't know you're asleep when you're asleep. You don't know you're in the darkness if you're in the darkness. It's only when you get out of it and you get into the light, you go, oh, now, oh my God, I was in the dark. Oh my God, I was asleep. So I believe that we're all sleeping. And so what does life do? Through various things, life comes and nudges us. Hey, wake up. And sometimes that's all it takes. A little nudge. And we wake up. Maybe go through a difficult time. A breakup. A loss of a job. You know, it's just not easy, not a comfortable thing. But it's life nudging you to wake up. But other times we are so fucking dead asleep that like life has to shake us. Like, wake up, Roy, wake up. And so something more dramatic happens. This is how Eckhart Tolle and Byron Katie describe their awakening. They were basically suicidal. They were suffering so much. They were so hopeless. They felt so much despair that they were about to kill themselves. And through that and all the events around it, it was like life dumped a bucket of water on their face. Wake up! Because they were so asleep that they needed something radical to bring them back to consciousness. So I believe that's what life is doing. Through whatever pain and suffering or difficulty or challenge or problem that you're facing, it's life trying to tell you, hey, wake up. Now, you can resist it, but all that's going to do is make life say, I got to do something more dramatic to get their damn attention because they're so deeply asleep, a nudge won't do it. So a lot of this is, how do you see your problems and your pain? Remember early in the podcast, I said my pain was a portal to profound spiritual inquiry. My pain made me look. It made me wonder. It made me ask questions like, what the fuck am I doing? Why is life so hard? And that's what life is doing to you. But most of us, we resist it. We don't really want to face our pain and use it as a portal. But that's what life is trying to do. It's trying to wake you up. And so if that's not enough of just maybe entertaining the idea that you're walking around in the dark and you're bumping into stuff and you're stubbing your toes and you're banging your knees and you're hurting yourself and you can't see anything and you're scared. If don't you realize that at the core of your being, you're just scared? That's what's happening. 24/7, you're scared of something. And everything that you're doing is trying to keep from whatever you're afraid of happening from happening. Fear is running your life. That's what the enlightened beings come back to tell us. They were one of us. They wake up and then like, oh my God, fear was behind everything. And it's an illusion. And there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to resist and fight. Okay, so if that description doesn't kind of get you interested in the rest of this series, and if your own pain and suffering relationally, personally, professionally, financially, medically, psychologically, if all of those problems aren't yet making you look for the portal, you know, they have that pain isn't bringing you to ask deep questions, then can I finish the podcast by giving you maybe 10 or 12 reasons why you should be interested in awakening? Remember, this podcast was, what is spiritual awakening and why should you care about it? Okay? So being careful not to overstate awakening and enlightenment, because many people do. Here's about, I don't know, how many on my list here? I think there's about 12. Okay? Why should I seek to awaken? Why should I be interested in this? Number one, drama and conflict will largely disappear. Almost completely. People that are really awakened, it's so rare to get in any conflict or have any drama. I mean, the people around them might have all kinds of problems, but they don't participate in it. They don't get into it. They don't get drawn into it. People that are awakened don't have much drama and conflict, hardly at all. Does that interest you? It should. Secondly, why awaken? Because when you do, nothing is taken personally. Do you realize that all the suffering you have is because you take things personally? What they said to you? How dare they treat me that way? They disrespected me. They don't see me. They don't see that I'm valuable. They're not honoring. They're abandoning me. They don't want to love me. They don't want to be with me. See, all of that is you're taking things personally, like it's about you. And when you awaken, you recognize nothing is about you. People are doing what they're doing. It's got nothing to do with you. So you just don't take anything personally. Well, then no wonder why there's no drama. Okay? The third thing is there's full engagement without seriousness or attachment. So when you awaken, man, you are engaged in life. You're engaged in relationship. You're participating. You're enjoying. You're giving your gifts. You're not withdrawn and hiding in a cave. But your engagement, you're just not taking it seriously. Like when you're awakened, you know from a distance, nothing is that serious. You're just living on this rock that's spinning around an empty space, and there's nothing for millions and millions and millions of miles, and they haven't found anything in any galaxy within hundreds of millions of light years. And so what? You're going to be here for 80, 90 years? It's like, what's so serious? If you step back and really look at it. So you're engaged, right? But you're playful. You're not taking it too seriously, and you're not attached to anything because it doesn't mean anything, really. I'm not saying that there's no meaning in life. I'm just saying that It's just what's happening. It's just what you're doing. It's just not that serious. Okay, so fourth, when you're awakening, the whole seeking, pursuing, needing, chasing relaxes. All of the efforting relaxes. You really see in your bones, there's nowhere to go. There's nothing to pursue. There's no one to chase, to be who I already am. Right? There's a recognition of completeness here. So why am I trying to get there? Because when you wake up, you begin to see clearly, oh, something's lacking here. That's how it looks. Something's incomplete here. Me, I'm incomplete. I'm lacking. I'm missing something. That's how it seems. And so what do? Well, you chase. You pursue. You need. The only reason why you need something is because you think you lack it. The only reason why you want a partner is because you feel alone. The only reason why you chase something is because you think you don't have it, and I need to go get it. Well, when you awaken, you recognize you are whole and complete unto yourself. And so needing and chasing don't even make any sense. That would be like Elon Musk, who's worth like $150 billion, trying to get a job at McDonald's because he needs money. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, dude, you have billions. You're trying to get a $15 an hour job? Yeah, I need money, man. You just don't know who you are. You don't know that you're complete. You have all the money in the world, right? That's how we're living. That's what the awakened beings notice. That's why they're usually laughing. Most of the images of awakened people they're laughing because it's like, oh my God, I see it now. It's like, how silly are we? It's like ridiculous. We're all walking around think we're missing something and lacking something. And so we're chasing after it and trying to get it. And then we're hurting other people in the process. And we're climbing over other people to get to the top. And we're trying to do this. And we're trying to get that. And all along, you already are everything that you think you need. And so the seeking, the pursuing, the needing, it just relaxes. Furthermore, forgiveness just starts to be offered sincerely. Because you see what people are up to. You see they're just walking in the dark. It's like, oh, that's what Jesus did on the cross. Oh, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, they're walking around in the dark. Right? So forgiveness, it's just like natural. It's just like it's sincere. You don't have to try to forgive. It just flows. The past becomes powerless. Enlightened beings have a past. They've been divorced. They've had illnesses and failures and problems and challenges, and children have died in their families and different things like that. So I'm not saying an enlightened being has had a perfect, you know, roses and unicorns and rainbows past. No, they've had a crappy past just like the rest of us. But when you awaken, none of that has any power over them. It has no impact on who they are today and how they function in the world. It's just something that happened. It's no longer something happening like it is for most of us unawakened people. Our past is alive in us. It's affecting us. It impacts the way we live. So awakened beings don't have any trouble with trust, because trust issues just come from hanging on to the past. Correct? If you've never been cheated on, would you be afraid of someone cheating on you? Right? I mean, that's a complex issue, but you get my point. If nothing's ever happened to you, then you wouldn't worry about it happening to you. I mean, right? So enlightened people, they don't have trust issues. because they see that their past is, it's powerless. It's just what happened. It doesn't mean anything. So next on the list is rejection. For an enlightened person, is meaningless because they don't take anything personally. So when I'm rejected, it just doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything about me. There is no me to defend. There is no me who can be abandoned. That's just a caricature of my imagination. So awakened people, they don't fear a failure. They don't fear rejection. They just give their gifts. They just flow with how life is unfolding. And they don't take it personal. So rejection's meaningless. Boundaries are set easily. No. I don't want to be involved in that. I can walk away. Boundaries become just easily set. Emotions are felt fully, but they pass quickly. See, most of us, we either don't feel them fully, or they stay in us for days, weeks, months, years, decades. Right? So most of us don't, we avoid our feelings. See, an enlightened being, awakened people feel feelings fully, completely, without resistance to them. They welcome, they feel them fully, and they pass through quickly. So anger might be experienced in an enlightened being, but not for more than 2 or 3 seconds. Sadness, fear, they might come up in an awakened being, but they're just experienced in the body for energies that they are. They're not a big deal. If there's something to be learned, then something is learned and they pass. Because they don't attach stories to them and meanings. They don't take a personal. Authenticity is natural and effortless. I can just be honest, be truthful. I don't need to control my image. There is no image to control. There is no person to defend. There is no self that I have to. There is no self-concept. Remember, what has dropped away is the I am this. I am a good father. So if something appears to say you're not a good father, oh, I have to defend that because that's my identity. I'm a good father. Or I am, you know, a good employee. And then you get a bad review and you, oh my God, what? Because it's threatening your self-concept. An awakened being has dropped all self-concept or included every self-concept. Either way, there is either no self-concept or they see themselves as everything. I'm a good father and a lousy father. I'm a good golfer and a lousy golfer. I'm a good coach and a lousy coach. It drops away. So authenticity is natural, because I don't have to keep up an image. I don't have to defend something. I'm just real, and it's, there's no effort in it. It's a natural thing in the world. Next, resentment, stress, and loneliness just flat disappear. They just flat disappear. If you don't take anything personal, then how do you have resentment towards someone? Because resentment is, I took it so personal, I'm holding on to it, and now I'm going to just, you know, hang on to that forever, and I'm going to resent you, right? But if you don't take anything personal, if your emotions are felt fully and pass, well, then there's no resentment, and there's no stress, because you're not fighting with life. Enlightenment means you are one with life. There's no resistance to it. So there's no stress. It really is possible to live a life in this world without stress. Maybe if I remember when I interviewed Jim Dethmer, maybe I'll ask him, Jim, when was the last time you felt stressed out, overwhelmed, like just like you had to escape, like you were just in a bad patch? Hopefully I'll remember to ask him that. And I think you're going to have your head explode when he tells you something like, geez, I can't even remember how long it's been since I felt any stress. I really believe he's going to say something like that. Okay. Okay. And then lastly, your life's purpose shifts to service rather than self. Because when you're unenlightened, it's about me. It's what I need, what I want, what I don't need, and what I don't want. You wake up every day, it's about me, myself, and I. That's why I say we're all narcissists, because the ego is narcissistic and we all have one. That sense of self is about itself. Now, I'm not saying you don't do anything for anybody else and you never do anything of service at all, but underneath it all, at the bottom, it's about me. And when you wake up to discover there is no me to make it be about, then whatever is occurring, life is just moving through you and you are just of service. It's just no longer about yourself. Okay, so that list, anybody interested in that kind of life? No drama, nothing taken personal, engagement, but playfully, no seeking, forgiveness is easy, the past is powerless, rejection is like meaningless, I can set boundaries easily, I feel my emotions, but they pass quickly, I'm authentic, I don't feel resentment or stress or loneliness, and my purpose in life is just to serve. Anybody interested in that? I am. And so for the next 4 weeks, that's what we're up to. That's what we're up to. That's what we're going to be doing. And so next week, we're going to talk about the decision. There is a moment when your spiritual journey can begin. It's a moment that you can reject. But it's also a moment that you can accept. It's like the Mission Impossible thing. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, right? In the Mission Impossible movies, evidently, of course, there wouldn't be a movie, but evidently, Tom Cruise could say, no, I ain't doing that. No, I'm not saving the world. No, I'm not going to defuse that nuclear bomb. I don't want to do that. I want to go play golf. You know, F you, right? So he chooses all the time. But that's not how it is for you and I. There is a moment in your spiritual journey where life comes to you and says, you have a choice here. You have a real choice. And you can make a choice that begins your spiritual journey. And that's next week. Until then, have a great one. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Attracting Lasting Love with Roy Biancalana. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. And while you're at it, please leave a rating and review and share it with anyone you think might benefit from listening. Check out our website at coachingwithroy.com and tune in every week for more insights and wisdom on creating healthy, lasting, conscious relationships.